Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitator and coach Betsy McLaughlin as she delves into different areas of your life to get unstuck and create the life that is truly possible for you. Betsy has changed her life by utilizing the tools and techniques she is sharing with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Imperfect Brilliance. I am your host, Betsy McLaughlin, and I'm super grateful that you guys listen in and you reach out to send me emails. I'm always open for suggestions on subject matter, and you can send me an email at accessbetsy@gmail.com. And today's guest, yay, is Miss Diva Diaz, which I'm super excited that you are able to come and impart some words of wisdom with us. And today we're going to talk about, are you using your beauty for or against you? And I thought that was really an interesting, even just that question. And so many people either love beauty or they hate it or they never even want to talk about it or think about it. So we're going to talk about, are you using your own personal beauty for you or against you? And that in itself for me is quite an interesting question. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation today. And we're going to discover what true beauty is and unearth your own personal beauty and find out how to use it in your life. And it's not just having a beautiful soul. So, Diva is an Access Consciousness Certified Facilitator, an amazing facilitator. I've had the joy of taking some classes with her. And she's also an entrepreneur with several businesses. And she was in the corporate world in business intelligence. And now she's discovered Access Consciousness and instantly recognized that that is what she had been looking for in her life, which is pragmatic tools that work, and they empower you to know what you know. They're so empowering, these tools and questions that we play with, and create the change that is truly possible in the world. And Diva globetrots while working with Access and also developing her own businesses and facilitating classes on what she practices daily in life and in business. So without further ado, welcome Miss Diva.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Well, thank you. And can you tell everybody what using your own personal beauty for you or against you, what does that even mean?
Exactly. That is the question. I'm glad that you're asking that, because I think, you know, it's so easy to have definitions of what that means or of what beauty is, to the point where we actually end up losing ourselves, and we so often try to, you know, become a version that we've decided is beautiful of us, whether it's what we're seeing in magazines or whether it's what our parents decided was beautiful, or culturally what's beautiful. And none of that is a question as to what is actually true for us and our bodies and just our sense of what we want to create in the world.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's funny because I grew up in England, but I was born in Colombia originally, and it, to me, growing up, it was always interesting to see the two different ideas of beauty. You know, like in the Latin American culture, if you're very curvy and you've got, you know, all the bumps in the right places, then that's going to be great as a woman. But it also has a million connotations. And then obviously in England, it's like if you're kind of tall, skinny, you know, with like high cheekbones, then that's the version of beauty here. So for me growing up, it was, yeah, it was confusing, but at the same time, it allowed me to kind of choose what was true for me, since I knew that no one of those things was actually true. It was just whatever point of view people were having.
Well, and in that, you know, you're so aware of what, you know, that area of the world, what their definition of beauty is. And if you are not what that is, so, and were you a child when you were living there?
Yeah, since I was three, yeah.
Okay. So what, so having that awareness and not being, you know, one that was like, you know, fitting into what that definition was, what did that open up for you and create for you in your life?
I'd say a lot. It was, I mean, it's very interesting because I was always the kid that was told like, oh, you're so, you know, you're so cute, like you're so pretty. And I would stand up and be like, no, I'm not pretty. I'm intelligent and I'm smart and I'm funny, you know, and I'd have all these other things. So for me growing up, I always kind of tried to reject beauty in every sense that I could, so that the other parts of my personality could stand out, which might sound very superficial, but you know, when you say to a child the whole time, you're so beautiful, and that's the only thing that they hear, what if instead we could start actually recognizing the beauty of the being as a whole, and not beauty in the sense of what you've decided is good and perfect and correct, like you're behaving correctly, therefore that's a beautiful thing, you know, but more like, okay, you're somebody that sees the world in a very quirky and eccentric way. There's beauty in that, you know, and allowing all of those parts of somebody's personality and being to shine through without apology as the beauty that they are. So yeah, wow. So I guess for me that was what I was always kind of fighting for when I was you know, like as a child in my teenage years, but I didn't realize that what I was actually doing was also trying to diminish my beauty and not allow myself to have that as well. Even physically, because it meant that then I couldn't have, you know, the rest of me, which of course is not true, but, you know, no part of this is logical, so.
that is so true. It is definitely not logical, you know. And there are so many people who, if you are what somebody has decided is beautiful, then how could you possibly also be smart and funny and, you know, kind and generous and all the other pieces that you are as a person, right?
Yeah.
And now I remember there was a time in my life that I weighed a lot more than I currently weigh. And so it was, you know, I was almost 500 pounds. And that was quite an interesting experience because people would say to me, you have such a pretty face.
Yeah.
And it would be like, well, what about the rest of me? Like, you know, okay, so obviously, you know, what's the unsaid part of that, right? There's so much in there. And then I would fight against all of that. You know, so when you were talking about what you fought against, like, oh, wow. So I wonder for everybody, like when they're listening, like, what do you fight against that people have said to you your whole life? Instead of like really being able to receive whatever is being said to you.
Yeah. And I love that you said that as well, because receive what's being said to you. It's so easy to get that mixed up and think that it means that you have to accept what people say to you, or you have to tolerate everybody's judgments of you, which is very, very different than actually receiving, because receiving means that somebody can say to you, you have great shoes, you know, because that's anything that they can see in that moment, or you're really good at science, they're not seeing the rest of the beauty of you, but it means that you're just receiving the information. Oh, this person considers that I have great shoes. That's interesting. That's an interesting point of view, rather than having to make sense of it or think, oh God, is the rest of my outfit not great because I only have great shoes, you know, which I see so many of us do so many different areas.
Yeah. Could you talk a little bit more about, you know, even what that receiving is, like what that will contribute to your life by being willing to receive it?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that, you know, we talk about a lot in Access Consciousness and with the tools is really about receiving, which is something that we're not taught to do, really. You know, it's like we're taught to kind of be doing things for other people the whole time, even doing things for ourselves, but not really receiving, which is such a different energetic flow. It's like rather than putting stuff out there, you're actually allowing things to come in. And really, like the main thing to get about receiving is that if you're in judgment, you are not receiving. If you're in judgment of any kind, even if you're saying this person is the most beautiful person in the world, that's a positive judgment because you're still concluding that that's what they are. There's no other possibility. Whereas when you're receiving, you could look at someone and say, wow, this person is really beautiful right now, and what else is possible? And, you know, what else can I receive here, or what else can I acknowledge about them, which opens up your world entirely. So to me, it's like, I mean, I used to dance a lot when I was a child and perform a lot in theatres, and, you know, there was like hair and makeup involved and all of this stuff. And, you know, then I was always interested in fashion as well at the same time. And in that, there was always this sense that unless you were a certain way, or unless you looked a certain way, you just couldn't fit in. So there was really not that much ease in being somebody who was a little bit quirky and a little bit different. And so even receiving that was like, you know, how often are we taught that that's wrong?
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have, you know, and so then you have to judge yourself against something. And there's always this reference point rather than starting from like a blank slate and just a very open question, like, okay, so what is my reality? You know, like what is true for me? Which I get, I know it's a huge topic and I'm kind of deviating here.
Yeah, that's okay. We'll do that. It is true. It is a huge subject. And like, what is true for you? And that's a great question to ask yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, truly. I mean, I remember like, even in the corporate world afterwards, it was like, as smart as somebody could be, if you allowed yourself to kind of just be sucked into what was considered beauty in that industry or whatever, you know, so like wearing the right outfit, like saying the right lines at the right time, because it's not, I don't just mean physical beauty, but I mean like, you know, having like the right briefcase and all this stuff.
Yes.
Then you, it's like I saw so many colleagues of mine, including myself at some point, just kind of like lose themselves in that, because then you were playing a role. But I remember very clearly, I actually had one colleague, and she was a little bit wild. And she somehow always just got away with everything. And so she was joyful. She wasn't like a rebel without a cause. Like she wasn't just trying to stand out. But she, you know, her hair would always be like a little bit wild, and she would say things that perhaps weren't appropriate, but were very definitely in line with what was true for her. So she was actually being herself, which really allowed her to have so much success in that career and in whatever she chosen afterwards. And it was amazing to see, because to me, that was beauty. That was beautiful. And she wasn't, you know, like tall, skinny, blonde with high cheekbones. She was hardworking, and she was funny, and she was strong, and you know, she would just say what was true for her. And to me, that's the beauty that now is starting to to kind of be more acceptable in society, which is
yes,
really fun, I think. Yeah.
It really is. And to acknowledge and embrace the uniqueness that you are, and you know, the to see the beauty in every single person, and that to me is such an amazing gift. And to and really things do seem to be changing, where it's so much more embraced for you to be you and choose things that are, you know, that things that work for you, and to not have to be to fall into like almost like an assembly line of or yeah. Stepford Wives kind of thing, right, where it's a robotic and everybody has to be the same and dress the same and act the same and look the same. And it really, it does seem like things are changing quite a bit in society around all of that.
Yeah.
Wow. And I'm just wondering too, so for people who we've talked about receiving and we've talked about judgment, and the question, are you using your own personal beauty for you or against you? What can you share with everybody for people who may be like, oh, maybe I've been using it against me? And what questions can they ask, and what tools can they use to change that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this whole thing about receiving comes into play hugely, again, because one of the things that I've noticed, you know, being in business and working in the corporate world for a while as well, was that you would, you know, it's so easy to somehow think, well, I'm just going to, you know, not comb my hair, and I'm going to just do whatever, and I'm just going to show up like this because people should just accept me as I am, you know, mm-hmm. which I get it. It sounds really superficial, and I get that this is a very confronting subject as well, because, of course, why shouldn't people love you as you are? But the truth is that we live in a world where we do judge. And so if you want to like actually have some ease in your life, you might want to see what people can receive as well, not only what you can receive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if you are going to that job interview, or you are going, you know, somewhere where you'd like to create a specific result or a connection with somebody, what is it that they can receive as well? Now, it doesn't mean that you suddenly dress up in like, you know, a ball gown and wear your finest jewels because this is what this person can receive. But you might want to look at what it is that you're creating with the choices you're making. Are you functioning from a defensive standpoint where you're more like, well, I'm just going to, you know, wear my Crocs to show up at this job interview and like my dungarees and I don't care. Like, that's fine if you're doing it from choice. But if you're doing it from the defense of having to fight against everyone else's judgments and having to kind of stand up for yourself before anything's even occurred, you know, it's like we kind of try and stand up for ourselves before anybody's even giving us something to stand up against. Then that's when it might be worth looking at that and going, okay, what else is possible?
Wow. Well, stay tuned, you guys. We'll have more discussions around what beauty, about beauty and fighting for it or against it. And I'm sure way more with Diva Diaz. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Thanks for listening.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back to Imperfect Brilliance. My guest today is Diva Diaz, and we're talking about your own personal beauty, and are you using it against you or for you, or are you using it at all? Have you ever even thought about it? And we were talking about judgment, and I wonder if we could dive in a little bit more, Diva, about talking about ways when you might be realizing that you have used judgment against you. What can you ask to change that?
You mean like every day? But
yeah.
Well,
yes, every day.
You know, apart from that, that one time that reoccurred forever.
You know, judgment is always against you. We think it's not, and we're taught that in order to know what to choose and what to do and to not be these wild maniacs, that we should judge adequately so that we, you know, are able to behave appropriately at all times. But the truth is that whenever you're judging, whether it's a positive or a negative judgment, that is still limiting what you can receive, because what you're saying to the universe, to yourself, to everything is, do you know what? I can only receive this one thing that I've judged. And so the universe is there trying to gift to you possibilities, things that you're asking for, a greater life, more beauty, more whatever in your life. And you're sitting there going, no, thank you. I'm actually only going to receive the fact that this, you know, latte is terrible, or that this person is evil, or that this person is the most perfect, which then doesn't allow you to see anything but that. So true.
It's tricky.
So what about, like, if you could get rid of, you know, eliminate definitions and conclusions from your life and be in that you're willing to have, almost like explore the adventure of every moment. And yeah. I wonder what that, you know, and so if you're not in judgment of even or preconceived notions even of what something's going to turn out to be, I wonder what that can open up for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like, the interesting thing is that when we're judging, we don't know we're judging, right? It's likely we wouldn't be doing it. So often the key part of this is to actually recognize when you're doing it, because we get so used to just functioning that way that we don't even recognize it's a judgment. We go, no, look, it is a fact. I am fat, or I am ugly. Look, here's the proof. Or, you know, this dress doesn't fit. Like, that's a fact. Okay, sure. But if that makes you feel heavy in your universe, if it makes you feel like there are less possibilities and you want to now hibernate, then that's an energy that is showing you that that thing is a lie. That's something that isn't true, because anything that's heavy isn't true. And so to me, like, the key thing has been catching all of those nuances and energetically to things that I had decided were real about me, about my life, about even other people around me, and recognizing that whenever it's heavy in any way, that there's actually a lie there that I'm functioning from. There's a conclusion, there's a judgment. And, you know, we talk about judgment a lot, but, you know, Betsy, you know this. It's not like you're walking around trying to make everybody wrong the whole time, but a judgment might be the most subtle energy that you can't even put words to, but somehow you've decided that that's the only thing that's available and that nothing greater is possible there. So I'd say the first thing is notice that. Notice the energy behind the words or behind the thoughts and feelings that you're having with regards to a topic. And if it's heavy, it's just not true. And if it's light, then it is true. And that's a really, really great tool to start using as a compass in anything.
Wow. And so you're so right. Like the subtlety sometimes that we don't even realize we're doing it. So, you know, what questions can we even ask so that we can start to be aware of places where maybe we haven't known that we were doing it?
Yeah. Well, I would say, like, anywhere that just feels stuck in your life or, like, stagnant.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I work with a lot of parents and kids around the world. And one of the things that I have come across over and over, and we all do this, you know, but just as an example, is if a child is, say, misbehaving at school, it's so easy for that to go in two directions. It can either go that the parent is then defending the child and saying, no, my child is perfect and wonderful and great. Or it can go in the other direction where the parent is then convinced that their child is like the spawn of the devil. But those two things are judgment, whether you've decided that it's positive or it's negative. Because then what happens is you can't see anything other than that. I mean, you know, I'm sure we've all known that one person who thinks their kid is the most perfect in the world. And when the child is like setting people's houses on fire, they're like, no, 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 that's lovely, dear. You know, that's a typical example of when we have a positive judgment, how it can limit what we're seeing about the person. So I would first of all recognize that, like, if you've decided that a situation or a person or a thing, and that person might even be you, if you've decided that is either really, really great and perfect or in the other direction, terrible, but it doesn't feel like there's any other option there, that might be a place that you're judging. So you can just ask yourself, okay, so do I have any judgments here? And then the next step is really to get into question. And I mean, with a client that I worked with recently and her daughter who was having a lot of problems at school, what we started to look at together was, okay, so what is actually brilliant about what this child is creating? Like, what is right about this that we're not getting? Like, if we didn't buy into everybody's points of view, and, you know, I was saying to her, like, if you as a parent weren't having to fix it or make her better or any of that, like, what is right about her? And what she started to recognize it was that actually there was so much more to her child than this. This was just like a very loud situation going on at the moment, but it was probably not even 1% of who this child was. So as she started to receive more, like the kindness that her child was in different situations, how funny she was in other situations, how great at manipulating she was, which is actually brilliant, you know, how fast she was at learning certain things and at keeping up with jokes, you know, even though she's only like 7. Like, when she started to recognize that, what happened was that she let go of the focus on this one negative area, which also opened the doors for her daughter to let go of the focus on that and to kind of remember who she was as a person. Because when we're judging something, we're also limiting that for the other person.
Wow. What that last sentence you just said, when we're judging someone, we are limiting that person. And, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with people about, you know, limitations and overcoming limitations or overcoming obstacles or things like that. And to talk about it from this angle where it's like things that are projected at you even, And yeah. you can, a lot of people will choose a couple of different things, right? They either fight against it with everything they be, and or they say, oh, no, you're right, and they just kind of withdraw and decide that whatever's being said about them is the truth, so they better start being that or doing that. And yeah. I, you know, I can even look in my own life at all the different places where I've done both of those things, you know. Yeah. And, you know, like, so it, I love having these conversations where it's like, what else is possible beyond either fighting against it or deciding they're right? And then you work so hard to kind of prove either one of those, that you're so wrong, I'm going to show you how wrong you are, or you're so right, I better show you how right you are. And yeah. again, that's very, very limiting as to what you, as an amazing, talented, capable, extraordinary being that you are, can choose. So, yeah. you know, asking questions like that, you know, what else could I choose here? You know, what else is possible beyond whatever, you know, might be right in front of me is another question that I love to ask. It's like, what else is possible here? And, you know, like really kind of blowing through any walls or something that you might even be aware of. And yeah. I love that question. Literally asking that for me has changed things where I've decided were impossible or was never going to change. And then I realized that I was having that point of view. And mm-hmm. so I'd be like, oh, okay, well, what else could be possible beyond what I know in this, you know, in this point in time? What else could I be choosing? What questions could I be asking? What else truly is possible? Just asking those questions will open up so many other possibilities.
That's so true. It is. And it's that too. It's being constantly in the question. You know, this isn't like a quick fix. This is like the marathon of adding these tools to your daily life.
Mm-hmm.
But yes. the thing that you touched upon that I wanted to mention as well, mm-hmm. you said, you know, you were talking about like what's in front of you. And I think so often like we can get stuck in one of two ways. We can either only see what's in front of us, or we can refuse to see what's in front of us, you know. And to me, it's like beauty isn't about, I mean, it isn't literally trying to see the beauty in everyone, but it is seeing the beauty of the being. So I know that, you know, in the description for this show, one of the things is, you know, it's not just about having a beautiful soul, because it's not, because that would imply that then you just have to be perfect and great and wonderful and charitable and always polite, you know. And sometimes there's absolute beauty in being, you know, rude at the right moment. There's real beauty in, you know, maybe giving somebody a kick up the butt when they require it. You know, to me, all of those things are included in that. It's not just like, okay, now I've got to see my child as this wonderful person, you know, recognizing, wow, my child really, really enjoys being mean sometimes. And recognizing that without a judgment, that is you actually receiving the being. And that's something that really can have like a truly miraculous results in people's lives, because how often, you know, were any of us received as a being when we were young? You know, how much was it just based on our behavior, whether we did what we yeah. were told at the right time, whether, you know, we had scuffed our shoes, or if our hair was messy, or if we didn't tidy our room or whatever. But how much of that was based on actually seeing the being? And to me, that's what the beauty is. It's like when you're truly being you unapologetically, that's true beauty. And so you can pretty much look however you want to look, but you're actually just being you, and when you're being you, of course, that actually does include knowing what people can receive. So it means that you mm-hmm. are also kind of like, you know, if you are going to a job interview, you're maybe not showing up wearing your gym clothes or whatever.
Right. Right, really. And it is tapping into, and you guys know, like, because like it's sometimes people, well, I don't know. And you actually do know. And so it's like, where have you turned down that knowing? And so you can literally just by saying, oh, well, choosing. Again, it's not like there's a magic wand or something that you have to wave and you have to, do a lot of different things. Just by acknowledging that you actually do know. And, what do you choose to do with that knowledge? And so, like you said, what can the people receive? And you, if you've never met them, so you use the example of a job interview. So you've never met them yet. Okay, great. But you can connect with them energetically and you can tap into the people. And it's just playing with it. And so anywhere that you've decided that you couldn't possibly do that, would you be willing to try it? Would you be willing to play with that and see what shows up? So I've certainly done that. I've tapped into people that I haven't met yet, and I've just connected with them energetically. And then it does give you awarenesses. And so what can you receive? So, if you're going on a job interview to, a corporate job, you're not going to want to walk in with your gym clothes. If you're going to a yoga studio for a job interview, then yeah, you can wear your gym clothes. But it's like really, knowing in every moment and knowing that you already do know and tapping into that knowledge is that, again, that's enough for me. That's true beauty. And so it's not the surface, beauty that you might see in a magazine, but it's the beauty. And then celebrating the uniqueness of you is another thing that I just love when I see people embracing that. And when I see people who truly embrace who they are and their gorgeous uniqueness, to me, that is just so like, oh my gosh. And you'll see somebody walk by who has that, and you're like, yes, that. To me, I'm always like, yes, that. And anywhere I'm not choosing that for myself, I choose that. And so I love seeing that in other people and celebrating it and embracing it. And what could I do to inspire others to be that and choose that for themselves?
I love that.
Oh gosh, it's time for our next break. Stay tuned, you guys. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Thank you so much for listening to Imperfect Brilliant with my guest today, Diva Diaz.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. This cat makes me make art. He's always motivating me to draw pictures of him. He just is motivating artistically. He's my best friend, but a lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
Keyboard Cat, YouTube star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hi, guys, and welcome back to Imperfect Brilliance. Thank you so much for listening. I'm with my special guest today, Diva, and I would love for you to tell people how they can find you if they have questions or they're interested in taking any of your classes in person or online. How can they find you? How can they reach out to you?
Thank you, Betsy. Very easily, actually, just check out my website, divadiaz.com, spelt just as it sounds. And I'm also on the Access Consciousness website, so you can check that out too.
Wonderful. So it's D-I-V-A-D-I-A-Z, as in zebra, and that is her name, and so it's easy to find you. And I'm kind of curious, have you always had that name, Diva?
Yeah, well, actually, my grandmother is called Diva, and my aunt is as well. And Diva was always my middle name, and so in Colombia, there's this kind of, I don't know why, but a lot of people go by their middle names. And So I kind of, it just was like a natural evolution. And I always hated my first name anyway. So I legally took it off about 12 years ago. So I'm the third Diva in my family. It's not that exciting to us, but I do get that it's a bit of a, you know, particular name.
it's a fun name, and I can imagine that there are some people who probably have judged your name.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. Which is, you know, it's actually quite fun. It used to be a little bit annoying, but I think, you know, just like everything, is you can resist and react to the judgments people have, or you can have fun with them. And in that, it's much harder for even them to hold on to the judgments. Yeah.
Well,
does that apply to beauty or anything?
No, I was just going to say, I love that you just brought that piece in. And so could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I think a key thing as well that I've, you know, kind of noticed, particularly in the last year or so, is how much humor actually has beauty to it. Because if you're willing to just not take yourself so seriously for a second, and even if somebody is judging you, recognize somebody's judgment about you is never about you. It's always about them. They may be having a bad day. They may have just received some bad news, or they may actually be judging themselves against you, wondering why they haven't created as much as you're creating, which I know to us makes very little sense, because most of us go around thinking that we're not doing enough, we're not being enough. But to somebody else, you are. You're doing a lot, and you're being, you know, something huge. And so to me, one of the main things is, like, if we can just not take ourselves so seriously and just ask, okay, how much fun can I have with this? That tends to take the steam out of a lot of the judgments that we have, whether they're somebody else judging us or us judging ourselves as well.
Humor is such an amazing gift to me, definitely in my life. And it's been probably 15 years ago that I went through chemotherapy and treatment and surgery and things for cancer. And that was, for me, such a gift. And people will always, they still ask me, like, you know, knowing that I went through all of that, like, what could they do for family members and things like that that have gone through or are currently going through illness. And one of the things I always talk about is bringing humor into it. And laughing is such a beautiful thing to me. There's just, like, the joy and the gift that laughter is such a healing energy, and it's so beautiful. So to really, like, embrace that piece for you is such a gift.
Yeah, absolutely.
Such a gift.
I mean, when you're laughing as well, you have gratitude in that moment and you have allowance. You're not judging, you know, which in itself is just huge. I mean, not to make it super significant, but that's where you can actually really create a different possibility. I mean, I have a friend who I'm so grateful for. She is always happy. And even when she's not happy, she's not like fake happy. Like she's not trying to be positive to prove how happy she is. She just is a happy person. And so even in like crazy situations where people be getting stressed, she's making a joke out of it and seeing the funny side of it, which actually makes every single thing with her not only more enjoyable, but easy. It means that like the problems don't stick for more than 2 minutes. And I'm lucky enough to work with her a lot. So any challenges that we may face, like, you know, when we're organizing events around the world, for example, they're gone within a few minutes. And even if they're not, then it doesn't haunt you for the whole day or the whole weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're kind of over it within 30 seconds.
Yes. And that is also something, you know, when you're holding on to something, that it actually will start impacting your health and your life and your attitude. And so, the more joy you have and the more you don't hold on to anything, it's such a contribution to your life and your living and everything that you desire to create in the world.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, I think so many times, like, it's easy to look at what isn't working in our lives and work on improving that and try and change that and, you know, stop judging, like all that stuff. And that's great, absolutely, for sure. And what would it be like to include just a little bit more joy as well? Because the moment you do that, you've just eliminated all the other stuff that you've been trying to get rid of. You know, it's so much easier just to choose happiness and to sit there eternally trying to get over being sad or angry.
And, you know, when somebody is happy and joyful, their whole spirit is that, you know, the joy just emanates from you. And that is it's so beautiful and such an invitation for everybody that comes into contact with that person. And I know that you can think, I'm sure you can think of top times, I'm trying to say six words at once, when you've maybe not had a great day and somebody has given you a smile or said a kind word, and it can change your entire day and your mood and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you see somebody laughing and having just enjoying themselves, and that is such a gift to everybody.
Absolutely. And I'd say that's a huge part of using your beauty for you, because whether you're the person who is actually kind of taking everything, you know, in a light manner, like, you know, and you're the one that's making other people smile, not because you're trying to, but just because that's who you are, and so it's infectious. You using your beauty for you. And then on the receiving end, if you're the person who's there, you have a split second choice. You can choose to continue being upset, or you can choose to receive that joy that person is kind of just like spreading out into the world. And that is where you can either choose to be the beauty of you as well, or to continue in the trauma and drama, you know, problems and such.
So what do you choose? In every moment, what do you choose?
Yeah.
And like living from that and the beauty of you, and, in, you know, really, and the other thing I would love to talk about too is acknowledging you and all of your amazing gifts and capacities, and even the ones you might not even know about yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's so funny, Betsy, because, I mean, how often do we get things back to front and think that, like, the thing that is ugliest about us, whether it's a personality trait or whether it's a dark sense of humor or whether it's, you know, perhaps, you know, like, I mean, in like my family's culture, if you're not overly emotional, then that's quite a bad thing. That's quite ugly. And I'm not really a person who's overly emotional. So I always thought that that was something really bad. But what if there's a beauty to all of these things that we've decided about us? What if that's actually a skill, a capacity that we have in a different area that we just haven't really allowed ourselves to explore yet?
Yes, definitely. And it's just popping in to ask you this. And I know that you recently just started a new business venture. And wondering like how you have used that to create the business and, you know, tell people a little bit about what it is. Because I've seen what you've created and they're absolutely gorgeous. So tell our listeners a little bit about that and how they can find out more.
Sure. Actually, it's a business that I created. Like, I would not have been able to do it without the tools of Access Consciousness. I mean, if I tried to create this business from a regular standpoint and trying to do a business plan, I would have failed, which is what happened initially 10 years ago when I first had the idea. But it's, you know, what we're doing with this business is we're bringing, like, the art of handmade Peruvian alpaca wool. In all of its forms, so accessories and, you know, capes and coats and stuff, and we're bringing it to the world, but in a way that's still very honoring of the people that have, like, the tradition and, you know, a tradition that's been handed down century after century through word of mouth, and it's been taught through, you know, mothers would teach their kids and so forth. And actually, to me, one of the most gorgeous things about this was that when I've been creating this, it really has been from what contribution can this be to the world? And that's, to me, that's the beauty of business, whatever business you're doing. And just that question is opens so many doors, because then you're taking yourself out of the construct of, you know, how much money is this going to make? How many items should I sell? Who is my target audience and all that stuff? And it really brings you into, like, the beauty of creation from a more conscious space and a more conscious space of mind, where you're actually just in question constantly. So yeah, that's, I guess that's it in a nutshell.
Wow. And I'm sure that, you know, like, just in, since our kind of theme today is about, you know, the beauty in things and in your life and what all of that is, I wonder what you have discovered, even working, you're talking about the different, like, handing down this amazing craft through generations and being there as somebody who will help continue this tradition. Like, there's so much beauty in that.
Yeah, truly. And, you know, it's like, even if we look at the world of fashion, and we can apply this to anything, but fast fashion is kind of what's cool at the moment. You know, you just want an item, you want it quickly, you want it cheap, you want to be able to order it online, you don't even want to try it on your body, see what it feels like or looks like. Everything is quick, and it, and everything's coming kind of like out of a template, a pre-made template, and everyone's wearing the same thing. And there's nothing wrong with that, and there is an elegance and a beauty to me to something that's had a lot of energy put into it and care and craftsmanship. And within that, there are some imperfections, quote unquote, you know, like a lot of the garments we produce, like, each one is custom made when the client orders it. And so they're all going to be a little bit different, and everything is cut by hand and the fabric is made in the factory. And so it's not going to be like a cookie cutter, you know, like, product. But there is beauty in every single part of it, from the concept to where we're even honoring the alpaca and the animals and the earth, you know, in the way that these animals are treated and cared for, and really, really actually honored, which is just such a gift to me personally as well. But you can see it in the end product, because when somebody tries that on, it really, I've seen it bring out people's beauty in the sense that they feel like they're being nurtured and cared for. And that they're also nurturing and caring for themselves by actually choosing that, by choosing something that's a little bit more, you know, unique.
Wow. And even just listening to you describe this just a little bit for seeing some of your capes that people have worn, and I see how they're responding. I've seen their bodies just be so happy to be wrapped in the alpaca wool, and it's so soft, and it's really such a nurturing thing that you are creating and gifting to people, and the colors and just the beauty of it. So it's such a contribution, and I love seeing it. And I'm wondering, you know, what that has contributed for your life to be part of this and to see it come to fruition.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, it's been such a huge gift, you know, and it's an ongoing gift. We're just at the very beginning, but actually the openness of the people as well in Peru and everyone that I've had just the immense joy and honor to meet and work with has mm-hmm. been wonderful. And the whole thing of staying in question the whole time has been absolutely key. Because as with anything in our lives, we may want it to be a straight line journey, but it never is. So, you know, there have been like ups and downs and like nooks and crannies and barriers and bridges. But with, you know, with the tool, the thing of just never judging anything and really trusting and knowing that the universe has your back, that really has allowed a lot of doors to open, because in that you're actually allowing yourself to receive. And I mean, I speak about this business, but I also have an access consciousness business, which thousands of people do. And it can be any business, but when you're choosing to create from that more conscious point of view, using these tools, asking questions, being out of judgment as much as you can, the results are fast and they're dynamic. It's not small, like it's kind of huge, you know? And so that in itself is a huge gift. Because then you remember and you recognize what you're capable of as well.
Yes. Wow. Totally. And for anybody interested, tell them where they can find all about the alpaca creation.
Oh, quick. Sure. It's at patchablue.com. B-L-U. Patchablue.
Alpaca blue. Patchablue. P-A-T-A-B-L-U.com.